Froyo closes at 11, and other convenient truths. By Summer Frost. Read by Hananobira. For Cece, for Fandom Loves Puerto Rico, 2017. Biddy bites his lip as he does one final spin in front of the mirror, anxiously running over the details of his outfit, the tight jeans with pockets that accentuate the curve of his small but perky, thank you very much, ass, his favorite shirt, the green one that brings out the hazel in his eyes, the subtle wing of eyeliner he's debating scrubbing off because maybe it's a little much, and he's normally a little more subtle, but then again, Biddy isn't trying to be subtle. He's on a mission. Because Chad was the worst boyfriend ever, or so he's heard, he doesn't really have a standard for comparison, and Biddy deserved better anyway, and it's been a whole 2 days since the breakup, and Biddy definitely isn't crying over him anymore, or anything. The eyeliner isn't waterproof. And honestly, where does Chad get off telling Biddy they aren't working out because they want different things? Or, as Biddy had miserably translated to March and April that night over a plate of rage cookies, there's a statute of limitations on how long you'll wait for your recently uncloseted boyfriend to suck your dick before he's not worth your time. Fuck Chad. Well, not fuck Chad, specifically, but fuck someone tonight, definitely. Yeah, Biddy is sexy. Biddy can have sex. Biddy could be having sex all the damn time if he wanted. It's definitely something he's completely comfortable with and ready for, and he's gonna prove it. Honestly. You ready, babes? April asks, swinging her legs from her seat on his bed. She looks absolutely flawless and only a little impatient. March says she's already there. Biddy flicks his eyes back to his reflection and fluffs his hair one last time. You betcha. Biddy's not even sure who's throwing this party, to be honest. Some people on the volleyball team that the girls know, maybe. But it doesn't matter much because they have cheap beer and a good playlist. And those are the only things Biddy needs to commence Operation Figuratively Fuck Chad by literally fucking someone else. He loses March and April almost immediately. But that's okay because his phone is almost fully charged and he'll find them if he needs to. For now, Biddy is busy dancing to Nikki and watching the hot blonde in the corner undress him with his eyes. He's got a floral snapback on backwards, hiding what looks like a mess of hair underneath, and the light is too low to tell what color his eyes are, but they're bright. Interested and a little smug without seeming wolfish, exactly. He looks like the kind of boy mamas tell their good southern girls to stay away from. Biddy's sure as hell not in the south anymore. He waits an extra song, just to make sure the guy really is watching him, and then he goes to get another beer from the keg, which is completely coincidentally right near where a hot blonde is leaned up against the wall, talking to two guys who are practically twice Biddy's size. High on adrenaline and bravado, Biddy saunters over in a way he's almost positive is sexy, and... good lord, this boy is even more handsome up close. He has freckles, for God's sake, and eyes that still don't have a color, and lips that curve into a smirk when he looks over at Biddy, his tongue absentmindedly flicking out as he shoves his hands into his pockets. He's so, so out of Biddy's league, and this is a mistake. Why did Biddy ever think? Hey, man, out of his league says, smirk widening a little. What's up? And okay, Biddy has spent a lot of years listening to people who weren't interested in him say hello to be polite. Straight boys who didn't really want to be talking to him, but didn't quite feel like shoving him into anything either. And this is not that kind of what's up. Biddy purses his lips a little and tries to ignore the intimidating size of Hot Blonde's friends, one of whom is wiggling his eyebrows at the other, earning him an eye roll. Are you... good lord. Biddy has no idea how he's supposed to finish that sentence, honestly, and he's about to make a strategic emergency exit back onto the dance floor when... Hot Blonde rakes his eyes up and down Biddy's body, lingering low below his chest, before he looks back up at Biddy's face with an intensity that makes Biddy's heart pound. I'm definitely something, yeah, he says, and his tongue is back again, licking at his lips to wet them. And Biddy can't help but think of that tongue slipping other places. The seam of Biddy's lips, the crease of his thigh. You're a pretty good dancer. Want a partner? Biddy masks the shiver running through his body with a drink of his beer. I could be convinced, he answers more breezily than he feels, wondering if the pink on his cheeks is visible in the light, and if it can be passed off as a flush from the heat and the dancing. Hot Blonde's smirk drifts into a full smile, a glint of teeth as he passes his drink off to his friend and slips the now-free hand onto Biddy's waist. He steers Biddy back into the press of bodies in the middle of the room, sighing quietly in what might be pleasure as he nestles himself against Biddy's back. Both hands on Biddy's hips now, he leans in to murmur, I'm Kent, by the way. Biddy leans his head back a little, chasing the wisp of hot breath against his ear. Most people call me Biddy. Huh, Kent muses. His hips rock forward, rub his crotch against Biddy's ass. Am I most people, Biddy? Biddy doesn't try to hide the shiver this time, shifting tighter against Kent's chest to let him feel the way his muscles thrill at the contact. This boy is handsome enough to be a model, and he's touching Biddy, gripping his hands on his hips and letting his breathing go a little shallow against his ear, like Biddy is sexy, desirable. Biddy wants to prove him right. Why, Kent? Biddy teases, turning his head a little to catch Kent's eye. Are you asking if I'm easy? Kent laughs softly, surprised maybe. Biddy's lips graze against Kent's jaw, catch against invisible stubble. 'Cause I am tonight, he murmurs. It's the most brazen thing he's ever said, and he's rewarded with a breathless curse tumbling from Kent's lips before he crushes them against Biddy's in a kiss. It's a relatively chaste thing, except for the nip of teeth, but Biddy doesn't feel shy about turning it a little sloppier. The song playing has a heavy bass that Biddy grinds to, winding the hand that isn't still clutching his mostly forgotten beer around Kent's neck, playing with a fringe of hair that peeks out from under his snapback as they make out. Kent tastes like liquor and soda, and his fingers are nudging up under Biddy's shirt with short strokes, little touches that tickle against Biddy's skin and make him squirm. Biddy's half hard, and so is Kent, it feels like, the bulge of denim rubbing against Biddy's ass growing heavier, solid, like it could slip between his thighs or in, well, somewhere, probably. Biddy breaks their series of kisses to chug his beer, lungs heaving with the sudden free influx of oxygen, shoulders sagging against Kent's chest. Kent's mouth moves down to his neck and kisses there instead, because apparently he doesn't need air, would rather lap the sweat from Biddy's skin. He nips his teeth into the joint where Biddy's neck meets his shoulder, and Biddy splutters on his beer, a sharp intake of breath melting into a moan. Want to get out of here? Kent asks. Biddy actually really, really does. He squeezes Kent's neck before pulling away and says, Yeah. Kent plucks the cup from Biddy's hand and sets it on a table by the door on their way out, telling him, My apartment's like a 10-minute walk. That cool? The cold air blasts against Biddy's face, and he shivers, tucks himself closer to Kent's warm body without really meaning to. Kent hums and slides an arm back around Biddy's waist automatically, like it's the kind of thing they do all the time. And Biddy's so busy being flustered he doesn't remember to pull his phone out and text the girls until they're maybe 3 minutes down the road. This is kind of awkward, Biddy says, and Kent looks over at him with amusement. But my friends say they need a picture of you. You know, in case you're an axe murderer or something. Biddy feels the tips of his ears going pink, because really it's just embarrassing, even if he knows it is the safe thing to do. And April always says if someone has a problem with it, it's a bad sign anyway. But Kent just laughs, says, Yeah, sure, and tugs them under a streetlight to get better lighting. They lean in close for the picture, Kent's cheek smushing up against Biddy's temple, and wow, they actually look really good together. Biddy's glad he let March talk him into getting the undercut he secretly wanted since he was 16, but was always worried about scandalizing Mama Biddle with. But, well, if she handled him coming out over Christmas, she can probably take the haircut. Anyway, The point is that he definitely looks older with his new hair, which is nice because he still kind of has a baby face, and Kent is all strong jaw and thin cheeks and... Holy shit, my eyebrows are on fucking point, man. Send that to me? Kent asks, already pulling out his phone. Can I tweet this? Biddy laughs. A little because Kent is apparently ridiculous, but mostly because he's really fucking nervous. Sure? They swap numbers, and Biddy sends the selfie to both Kent and his group chat with the girls. Neither of them answer right away, but that's okay. Biddy can worry about them later. The rest of the walk goes by faster than it feels like it should, and suddenly they're at Kent's apartment, and Biddy's being kissed up against the door, bracketed by the roll of Kent's hips and the languid slip of a tongue between his lips, and he's never done anything like this with anyone besides Chad, and it's so different with Kent. The way he kisses, the little sounds he makes between moments, and he's trying to untangle that mess when Kent pulls away. Sorry, he mumbles, chuckling. Guess I should give you that tour first, yeah? And then he waggles his eyebrows suggestively, and Biddy doesn't know if he wants to giggle or just kind of die. Biddy peers over Kent's shoulder for a moment, catching his breath while he looks over the tiny apartment. Then he says, "Think I've seen most of it," a playful smile on his face. "There's a size isn't everything joke in there somewhere," Kent tells him, "but I'm too horny to make it." Biddy gets out half a laugh before Kent is on him again, the kissing more urgent than before as he walks backwards, leading Biddy through the living room and down a hallway all without coming up for air. It's a wonder they don't crash into anything, Biddy thinks absently. But that thought sort of gets shoved out of the way when he's all but deposited on the bed with a surprised gasp. Kent plucks the snap back off his head, setting it on his nightstand, and then kicks out of his shoes before flopping down onto the bed. He's reclined against the pillows with that same self-satisfied expression he was wearing at the party, like he just knows he looks good enough to eat. And there's a tremor in Biddy's hands that makes it hard to unlace his shoes, and he gives up halfway through and pries them off still tied, even though his mother always gets onto him for that. "Hey," Kent says softly, eyes bright. Biddy takes that as an invitation, crawling over to straddle Kent's thighs and dip down close, nose brushing nose. "Hi," he says back, and Kent laughs when their lips meet. And this? Biddy's done this part before, too, and it's good. He knows just how well he can move his hips, probably too well for someone who's never quite worked up the nerve to finish what he started with the dry humping. But that's not going to be a problem tonight. Kent is pliant under Biddy, all smooth arches of his back and fluid kisses and soft slips of hands down the knobs of Biddy's spine to cup his ass. Nothing hard or tense, and Biddy feels like nothing but sharp edges that will cut or bruise if he doesn't hold himself exactly the right way, and Kent loses his shirt, and Biddy can't remember who did that. Biddy should take his shirt off too, probably, but he feels kind of squirmy about it, and it's just... Kent could do so much better than Biddy, and he's clearly done this before. And what if Biddy's terrible at it, and Kent laughs at him, or what if he gets mad and... "Hey, do you like Froyo?" Biddy startles and looks up, but Kent's already rolling away from him, off the bed, and pulling his shirt back over his head. What? Kent runs a hand through his hair, like maybe he's trying to fix the mess it turned into as soon as he took his shirt off the first time. It doesn't work, and he frowns at himself in the mirror hanging from his closet door. "I totally just realized the Frosty Goose has cake batter today, and now I can't stop thinking about it." Biddy considers the possibility that he shook so hard with nerves he vibrated himself into an alternate timeline. Maybe they already had sex and he missed the whole thing? Biddy bites his lip and gestures at himself vaguely to remind Kent, like maybe he forgot. "Biddy, wanna know a secret?" Kent asks, sitting back down on the bed and crooking his finger. Biddy leans in close obediently, and Kent cups a hand over his ear and everything when he whispers, "My bed's here all night. Froyo closes at 11. Biddy is too busy being absolutely bewildered to do anything but nod. "Great," Kent says cheerfully, and claps Biddy on the shoulder as he stands to grab his hat from where he left it and fit it back on his head. Biddy reaches for his shoes and jams them back on his feet. His phone tumbled out of his pocket at some point, so he grabs that off the floor too and hurries after Kent, who's already headed for the front door. The Frosty Goose is a 3-minute walk back towards campus, and they make it in absolute silence, except for whatever song Kent is humming under his breath. It sounds like retro Britney, and the boisterous laughter of the drunk people they walk past. Biddy wants to say something, maybe ask what the hell is going on, but the words stick in his throat, and he pulls out his phone instead. "Biddy, 10:17 p.m. What's it mean when you're making out with a boy and then he wants Froyo instead? "March, 10:17 p.m. Normally I assume he's gay, but, March, 10:17 p.m. N/A. April, 10:18 p.m. "Oh, honey," sad face. "Want us to come get you?" Biddy bites his lip and looks over at Kent. His eyes flick over when he notices Biddy staring, and he smiles, nudges him with an elbow. "Biddy, 10:18 p.m. "I'm okay for now. Thanks, though." The door chimes when they walk inside, but the place is pretty crowded, and no one really seems to notice them except the girl at the register, who smiles brightly. Kent makes a beeline for the cake batter, but Biddy hangs back a little and looks at his options. In the end, he figures he might as well have some adventure tonight, and goes with the honey lavender without even sampling it first. "Baller," Kent tells him approvingly, and dumps 3 spoonfuls of sour gummy worms on top of his yogurt. Biddy wants to smile, but only manages a sort of twitchy lip thing that probably looks more like a grimace. He busies himself with adding a neat pile of blackberries to his cup and dousing rainbow sprinkles on top, lingering a little longer than he really needs to, but he sort of wants some space to think for a second, except... "I've got his, too," Kent tells the cashier. Biddy squeaks, "Oh, no, you don't have to." Kent smirks and raises an eyebrow in challenge, not even breaking eye contact with Biddy when he hands over his card to the cashier. There's an awkward pause while the girl stares at him expectantly, and eventually Biddy gives in, just to get everyone to stop looking at him like that, settling his cup on the scale next to Kent's. After Kent finishes paying and drops some money into the tip jar, they sit down at a little table in the corner, one of the few empty spots left. Kent makes an obscene noise when he takes his first bite, not too different from the sounds he was making in the apartment before... "Fuck, I love cake batter," Kent groans, and tips his cup forward towards Biddy. "You want some?" "Sure." Biddy reaches over and takes a tentative spoonful that ends up being more topping than actual yogurt. The flavor profile is a hot mess, but that's probably kind of a snobbish thing to say in a Froyo shop where all of the customers are at least half drunk, Biddy included. So he just offers, "Want some of mine?" Kent hums and digs his spoon in, tilting his head at the soft lilac color before taking a bite. He chews thoughtfully before commenting, "Weird. I like it, though." Biddy offers him a small smile before ducking his head down to stare at his yogurt while he eats, not sure what to say. He's a rambler at heart, and he knows if he opens his mouth, he probably won't shut it again, and he's already been embarrassed enough tonight, even though the awkward silence kind of makes him want to bolt for the door. "Hey," Kent says, kicking lightly at Biddy's shin. "What's up?" "Did I do something wrong?" Biddy blurts, and immediately winces. "Fuck. Am I a bad kisser or something? Or, did I... Why didn't you want to? When we left the party, I thought you wanted..." "Whoa, hey." Kent hooks his ankle around Biddy's, like he can physically contain the outburst, and Biddy clamps his mouth shut. "You didn't fuck up, man. You're, like, really fucking sexy, okay? Like, I probably could have come in my pants just from dancing with you, seriously." Biddy worries at his lip with his teeth, and decidedly avoids looking Kent in the eye, a pleased thing curling in his stomach, despite his persistent confusion. Then why? Kent leans back in his chair. 'Cause I'm an asshole, but I'm not the kind of asshole who pressures people into fucking me. An indignant heat rises onto Biddy's face, and he does look up when he insists, "You weren't pressuring me. I wanted to." Kent responds with an unimpressed eyebrow raise and pops a gummy worm into his mouth. Biddy fidgets in his seat. Fine, I guess I wanted to want to. I don't know. I guess sometimes I still get... Oh Lord, this is so embarrassing. He buries his face into his arms, slumping against the table to hide the way his eyes are watering. He's not going to dump 18 years of baggage on a near stranger in a store called the Frosty Goose. He's not. Hey, I get it, Kent soothes, and rests a hand on Biddy's arm, squeezing gently. You don't gotta figure shit out overnight. Ugh, I'm so sorry. Biddy picks his head up, but only glances at Kent, before fixing his eyes on his froyo again, scooping up a blackberry and biting into it. The juices are sweet against his tongue, and it helps, kind of. This can't be how you wanted your night to go. I should let you get back to that party or something, really. Nah, Kent says. He reaches over and steals a blackberry out of Biddy's cup. The juice stains his lips a little, and Biddy doesn't feel as bad as he could about staring. What? Kent shrugs. I like you. Why would I ditch you for some party? Biddy feels his cheeks turn pink all over again. You're not mad? Wait, Kent frowns. Eyebrows dipping down in a furrow, Biddy never wants to put there again. Why would I? Shit, you mean 'cause we were hooking up? Biddy nods nervously, lips pursed. Hey, look, before, I was super into getting to suck your dick. Kent pauses, smirks when Biddy's eyes widen. And now I'm super into eating froyo with you. Still a pretty good night, as far as I'm concerned. Thanks. Biddy looks up from stirring his melting froyo around in his cup. He smiles tentatively, and Kent winks at him in response before chomping down on a mouthful of gummy worms. Kent says around his mouthful. So where's your sexy southern drawl from, Biddy? Biddy laughs, surprised and a little self-conscious. No one's ever called his accent sexy before. Georgia? Where are you from? New York, Kent answers, purposefully exaggerating his accent with a smirk. So I've got opinions on bagels and pizza, and I can't eat either around here. Biddy giggles and purses his lips around his spoon as he sucks it clean. Apple pie for me. That's, like, oddly specific. It's my Mooma's best recipe. I can't order it anywhere, even south of the Mason-Dixon, Biddy explains excitedly. Kent is actually really easy to talk to when Biddy isn't dying of embarrassment. So I just bake my own. Now you gotta take this to your grave, but I've actually been fiddling with it a little. You bake? Kent asks, leaning forward onto his forearms with a spark in his eyes. They're green, Biddy realizes in the bright light of the store. Oh yeah, I actually have a vlog and everything. Biddy leans forward too, propped up on his elbows while he gestures with his spoon. I try to, but the student kitchens are pretty awful, and the ovens always somehow smell like bagel bites. I tried to make some meringues last week, and I swear they tasted like pepperoni. Kent's eyes flick to the clock hanging on the wall to the side, and then back to Biddy's face. I've got an oven. There's a charged pause, the kind laden with a thrumming anticipation. Biddy teases, If I didn't know better, I'd think you were trying to take me home. I promise I'm not just using you for your pie, Kent says, and fucking winks. Biddy feels like he's going to die all over again. But it feels so much better this time, not all bogged down by expectation and worrying himself sick about all the things that could go wrong. And Kent is flirting with him, sure, but not because he's trying to get laid tonight. Just because Biddy is fun to talk to, maybe. And they're hanging out, and maybe they can kiss again later, and... Biddy asks, "What's your favorite kind?" Kent's grin is utterly delighted. "Blueberry. I don't have any, though, so we'd have to swing by Stop and Shop. Is that cool? I'll be your, do bakers have sous chefs?" Biddy laughs and tells him, "Something like that. And you best believe I'm putting you to work, Mr., Parson," Kent supplies smugly, and stands up to gather their trash to throw away. "Well, Mr. Parson," Biddy says, not bothering to ignore the little flutter his heart does when Kent wraps an arm around his waist. "Get ready to have your mind blown." Kent throws his head back in a laugh, then looks over at Biddy like he's been issued a challenge. "Looking forward to it, Bits." Biddy, 9:02 a.m. "I made him a pie, and we fell asleep cuddling on the couch." March, 9:05 a.m. "Get it, babe!" April, 9:06 a.m. "That's so cute, I could barf." April, 9:06 a.m. "Are you gonna see him again?" Biddy stretches delicately, trying to avoid jostling Kent awake, but he doesn't quite manage it, and Kent's eyes blink open. They're gray and half-lidded in the soft light filtering in through the curtains, and there's something in them that would feel like a promise if Biddy looked for it. Kent presses a kiss to Biddy's temple, nuzzles a little closer, and closes his eyes again, like he might fall back asleep. Biddy, 9:09 a.m. "Yeah. Smiley face." The end.